Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
This month, Hyundai of Yuma is out to buy as many used cars as they can to increase their pre-owned inventory. The best part? You don't have to buy a car from them. So no matter how much you owe or how many miles are on your car, just bring it in and get a free car appraisal. It's that simple. It's a quick and easy process. If you like the offer and have the title for your vehicle, they'll give you a check. If you owe money to a lender, they pay it off. Either way, you win. So come in today to Hyundai of Yuma and check out what your car or truck is worth. If you like the offer, then sell it to us. If not, at least you know what it's worth. It's totally free and easy. So come in today and help us achieve our goal to buy 100 pre-owned cars locally. Hyundai of Yuma, located in Yuma, Arizona, the sunniest city on earth, and is a proud, thriving Yuma Strong business. Call them today to set up a free appraisal at 928-344-1100 or just walk in and say, buy my car.
Customer responsible for any negative equity. No accidents on title history. See dealer for details.
Are you struggling to find quality employees? Tired of placing the same old Sunday classifieds or getting lost in the online job boards and getting the same results? Then you need to call us today at 344-4980 and put radio to work for you. It's fast. Place an ad today and have it on air tomorrow. Whether you're looking for hourly workers or to fill highly specified job descriptions, placing an ad on radio will help you fill these positions quickly. Call 344-4980 today and put radio recruitment to work for you.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Good morning, Yuma. This is attorney Adam Hanson. I'm in the booth today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark. This is Life, Death, and the Law, another edition of, and it's a beautiful morning outside. It's been great. I hope you've been able to enjoy the weather lately. Get out. Take your mask off and breathe some fresh air.
It was downright cool.
Yeah. I mean, I saw people, believe it or not, driving around with their windows down.
Yeah.
Good for them.
I wore a jacket one morning because it was chilly. I had to go out in the desert, and it was early in the morning. I had to put a jacket on. I said, where do I have those jackets now? I had to find it.
Yeah. Saturday night, we were outside, and we had to light a little fire to stay warm. It was pretty chilly as time went on into the night, and that's great. I mean, what more could you ask for? I hope that everything went well over the weekend for you, and that no issues arose. Primarily, we've been talking a lot lately about on our show constitutional issues, and like we've mentioned before, that's top of mind, obviously, because of what's happened through the pandemic last year when that all started. And I was talking again to some friends on Friday and on Saturday night, and we were talking about how graduation's coming up. And I had asked them the question. I didn't go to any of the high school graduations, but I know a lot of my friends did. And I asked, did you have to wear a mask? And they said, well, they didn't really, you did, but then you could take it off. Like, they didn't really enforce it. I was just curious, you know, out of curiosity, are they still kind of pushing the mask thing? And a lot of these events were outside, the graduations for the high schools. And so I think a lot of my friends said, well, we put them on when they told us to, and then we took them off when we got in the crowd. But some wore them, some didn't. And I think that's what I'd like to see. I don't want to see mandates. I don't want to be forced to do something, especially when there's no scientific data to back it up. And there's a lot of people on both sides of the fence on this. But I posed this question to my class at AWC. I was surprised by the answer because I would show up to class and my students all had masks on, and I didn't wear a mask. And I'm way up at the front of the room anyway, uh-huh. and they're they're more than 6, probably 12 feet away from me. And so I wasn't ever worried about it. But I was surprised that they never took theirs off. And so in one class session, I asked their opinion, you know, what do you think about masks? Do you think we should wear them? And they all unanimously were for it.
For the mask.
For the mask. I was really surprised. And I said, well, why?
Yeah, the rationale. That's what I'm interested in.
Yeah. Well, they said, well, you know, it's protecting other people from it's just selfish if you don't wear one. And I said, well, I understand that argument. I'm not arguing against you. I get that. At least that's what they've told us, right? Yeah. I'm not a scientist, and so I don't know. I don't know if they do protect us or not.
Well, the only scientific studies on it say no.
And that's what I've heard.
Opinions
as well.
Say yes.
Right.
Studies say no.
And so that's what I posted them. I said, you're welcome to have any opinion you want. I'm not going to discredit your opinion, and I just expect the same respect back, you know? Mm-hmm. I have my opinion, you have your opinion, and we can talk civilly about it. And we had a great discussion about it. And I said, well, what would happen? What would you say if, you know, 6 months down the road, it comes out that, oh, these were actually bad for you, that, you know, covering your mouth and the bacteria that grows and putting that mask on and off all the time, touching your chin, touching everything else with it, and then putting them on your mouth and on your nose where actually viruses and bacteria can enter. Maybe that's worse for you. What if we found out that? And they still weren't swayed by that argument. You know, I guess my argument was, don't believe everything you're told, because obviously we saw through this last election cycle that we were told a lot of stuff, and it's been happening for a while. Yeah. I talked to a person recently who worked in the media organization that constantly said, Adam, they would tell us this narrative that they want us to fit these actual events to. And I said, no, there's no way. Like, I've heard that. I've heard it in passing, you know, and Trump would talk about the fake news, and I take that with a grain of salt. And this individual's like, no. I mean, I was in that world, and I would write certain, you know, things and send it up for the editors, and they'd send it back. No, you have to fit this narrative. You got to get it to fit in this particular way. We need it to hit these points. And there's sometimes they just couldn't do that, so they had to scratch the whole thing because they couldn't change or fix the facts of what really happened to the narrative that they were trying to promulgate. And I thought, nah, I don't believe that. But he said, I did it every day, and I couldn't do it anymore. So I had to get out of that environment because I couldn't do it. I thought that was really interesting from the inside perspective as to how the media has – I would expect, and I think this is what our founders, getting back to the Constitution, our founders built the freedom of press and into our existence, into our founding –
Correct.
Documents. Why? Because they wanted a way to push back against the politicians. If there were issues that needed to come to light, they wanted the press to have the freedom to expose that to the populace so that we could go to the polls and vote accordingly.
Is it working?
I think they didn't. I don't think they could have anticipated the
corporate takeover.
The monopoly that has happened in this day and age. Meaning the Facebooks of the world, the Twitters of the world,
right.
Where they dominate the conversation and they have it on lockdown. And if you don't play by their rules, you're either canceled by them or you're fined or you're sued. And they control the game. And that's a real scary issue.
Do you think it'll break down or that we'll have a CCP-type press forever?
I don't know the answer to that question. I would hope to see. The only way I can see that happening is through either a lawsuit coming from a private citizen breaking up a Twitter or a Facebook. Basically, the legal argument is that this is a monopoly, and you've got to disband. They've got too much power in the marketplace, and we need to break them up. That's historically been one of the arguments, not against the press. Not against, be it Facebook is, we're referring to them as the press, and they're really not. I mean,
they're a bulletin board, technically, type deal, bulletin board, but they're acting like press because they have editors now.
In the early 2000s, when Facebook was created, I don't believe it was intent. I don't think Mark Zuckerberg thought to himself, you know what? I want this to be a news type pushing organization.
Right.
It was a way to track people.
We want to rule the world, control the narrative.
Express your opinion. And I'll be honest, I was there when it all happened. I was actually at Arizona State going to school when Facebook was rolled out in 2005 to the populace. Obviously, it started on the East Coast. It was at Harvard, Princeton, wherever Zuckerberg was attending at the time. And so he had put it together over there. But eventually, it was released to anyone that had an email address ending in .edu. So it had to be a university email address in order to even participate or sign up for Facebook. And I remember when that happened, I thought, okay, I'll try this thing. You know, at the time it was so new, but it was a way to connect with people that I had lost connection with that were going to school. Again, they had to be going to school or you couldn't find them. Right. And you would sign up with your EDU address, and then it would connect you to your actual school. In my case, it was Arizona State, and I was able to talk to people that I had class with and things like that back and forth. I was able to connect with others that were in universities around the United States. But as time went on, as we saw, then Facebook went to the populace, and it just kind of got away from that, what it was originally intended for, which was the colleges and being able to connect with these other students of yours, your peers, and collaborate, communicate that way. And so as it opened up to the world, as it became more and more open, naturally, and this was just me, at first it was pretty cool because I felt like it was cool because it was a niche thing that not everybody could be a part of. And I liked that. I liked that I was part of this app that I could communicate, but it was kind of a closed world. And as it started to open up more and more, then I started to lose interest. The more it opened up, the less I participated in Facebook until now, where I don't participate hardly at all. I try not to. And there's a couple of reasons for that. And maybe you're in the same boat, those that are listening, if you either do or you don't participate. And in my case, when I was going through law school, I knew looming on the horizon, I had to eventually, after I graduate law school and I passed the bar exam, during that bar exam licensing process, they were going to do a 10-year look back on my life. Oh. And I had to disclose any misconduct, any arrests, any tickets, anything like that for a 10-year period, all my addresses over the course of 10 years. So it was pretty extensive. And knowing that, I thought to myself, I'm not going to post anything, because I don't want to be, I don't want them to be able to see, be it political leanings or anything. Anyway. I wanted to be a blank slate. And so for that purpose, ever since, I thought, I'm not going to participate. I'll watch. You know, I still have my account, but I rarely go on Facebook anymore. I used to have it, well, when you get a phone and you hook up your account, I mean, I was inundated all the time with these Facebook notifications. So-and-so said this. So-and-so likes to eat pizza. I don't care. I've got other things to do. I've got to get to work. I don't care if he likes pizza or if he's in Cancun. I don't care. I've got other things to do. So I had to silence those notifications because it was just like in my face all the time. We'll come back to this after this. This is Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM KBLU.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
Temperatures were unusually pleasant over the weekend, but now it's back to regular May. Much warmer weather here. 97 today, 100 tomorrow, 99 the high Wednesday.
When you're looking to hire people fast, better late than never doesn't cut it. Fortunately, Indeed has Instant Match. Sponsor a job and you'll instantly receive a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. More at Indeed.com/credit.
I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Don't spend more than you have to on your mobile service. Spectrum Mobile could save you up to 40% versus what you're paying now. And nationwide 5G is included in every data plan. Plus, Spectrum delivers the fastest overall speeds and has the most reliable mobile service, coast to coast, with no hidden taxes, fees, or contracts. Visit SpectrumMobile.com today. 40% savings based on a comparison of single-line comparable unlimited plans amongst major national carriers as of 1/27/2021. Fastest overall speed, most reliable, based on Nielsen speed test, latest FCC report, and Root metrics.
How personalized can a financial plan be when it's created by one of those robo-advisors?
Plugging in standard algorithm to calculate insurance need and future wealth of random human client.
Robots don't know you. We do. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, getting to know you always comes first. Together, we'll create a financial plan based on your specific goals. Find a local Farm Bureau advisor at fbfs.com/protect. It's your future. Let's protect it.
This Memorial Day, in honor and recognition of their service to our great country, JMZ Drivelines and Automotive is proud to pay tribute to all dedicated members of the American military who sacrificed their lives in the name of freedom.
Consumer habits have changed in the last year. Think about your life and what is different about it from 1 year ago. Think about business habits. Have they changed? Sure they have. Go to YumaAdvertising.com. Your customers have had a similar experience. Time to reestablish your business as a consumer habit, and YumaAdvertising.com is here to help. As the world reopens to in-person commerce, let the people of Yuma know your business is open. Start inviting people to do business with you all over again. Learn how at YumaAdvertising.com.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. This is 560 AM KBLU. I'm attorney Adam Hanson, and I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark, pushing buttons, turning dials, making it look like Willy Wonka's factory in here. And before the break, we were talking about the antitrust laws, or we call those monopolies. Monopoly breakups. And
social media is the big one right now that gets attention.
We're talking about Facebook and how it's progressed over time. I told my own experience with Facebook in the sense that I was there from the beginning with my EDU email at Arizona State. And then as it started to open up to the masses, I started to retract. As it got more into the mainstream, I kind of stepped back. And I didn't want... To this day, I rarely post. I don't even know the last time I posted on Facebook, unless it was something that had to do with my business with the law firm, like promoting it or something like that, or an event that we were doing. But personally, I try not to, just because I don't want, number one, I'm worried about Facebook tracking my every move.
Yeah.
And they've got algorithms and things like that where they can hone in on who you are and what your political leanings and things like that. In fact, when it comes to campaigning, a lot of these databases, and Russ, you're familiar with this in the sense that when we're going in a campaign and you're going to canvass a neighborhood, you're looking for those eyes on the roster, the independents. In that sense, you're trying to flip them one way or another, along with your comrades. Your comrades are, you know, whether you're
Democratic. If you're in a primary, you're going to be Republicans.
Yeah, you're going to go after your Republicans, get them out to vote. Number one, if you're in that party, if you're Democratic, you're going to go after your Democratic colleagues. You know. But the ones in the middle are the ones that you're trying to sway as well, because they're supposedly on the fence.
Yeah.
And if you're not familiar with this or you haven't done any canvassing, then what you usually see nowadays is very sophisticated. We've got apps or they've got algorithms, and they'll go through – those algorithms will go into social media accounts. When I say go in, I don't mean through the back. They're going through public profiles, and they're finding preferences, and then they do a comprehensive analysis on individuals.
It was set up for marketing. Does the guy like to shop, for camping equipment or something? So you'll get they'll start profiling you as a camping guy, and then all of a sudden, every time you open up something on the internet, you get a camping advertising.
Yeah, and now it's become deeper. Now it's even deeper. I mean, you go to, I don't know if you've heard of this before, but I read a story years ago. I mean, this was years ago at Target. A gal went to go shopping one time, and she's a member of the Target program with the card and everything like that, and members rewards or whatever that is. And when you're part of that program, oftentimes when you go shopping at Target, you do your transaction and you'll get things back, like specific coupons and things that are are made available either on your phone through the app or in paper form, like a receipt. And they know. So I was reading this article, and they've done, you know, they've put together algorithms of shopping patterns and things like that. And so this particular article talked about how they know women are pregnant before they even know.
Oh.
Because they'll start to buy things that are triggers.
The Rocky Road ice cream sales are going
crazy. It sounds wild, but they know. And so they are ahead of the game, and they know when to start releasing things. And so they can track people's habits, and by tracking what they're buying, they know their tendencies and basically what's going on in their life. It's akin to going through somebody's trash. You know, you go to their trash or their wastebasket, and you go through that trash, you're going to find a lot of stuff.
Sure.
You're going to find bills. You're going to find letters. You're going to find all sorts of stuff. But now we're doing it, and we don't even know it's being done to us. And that's what one of the scary things is if they're tracking our not only our shopping experiences, and I can see from an altruistic perspective where if in the capitalist world, I mean, that's good. That is good because you want to only promote those things that are relevant to that individual in the sense that if I don't have a dog or a cat, I don't need an advertisement for dog food or cat food. And so keeping it personalized to me, I understand that. And that's capitalism. I'm welcome to that. But when you start using that.
I knew there was a butt coming.
But when you start using that in such a way as to now manipulate me, that's where I'm not excited about that.
But manipulate, you mean on other issues like political issues or something like that?
I would say political issues or even driving my what I'm buying, you know, trying to falsely prop up something that maybe I wouldn't be interested in otherwise, but for you're putting it in my face and saying, you need this, because it does this, that, or the other. In fact, I don't need that, and it probably doesn't do what you're advertising it to do so much.
But that's all fair and legal.
That's exactly, yeah, that's right.
It's all fair and legal. I think the stuff that you're going to object to has crossed the line.
I would propose that, yeah. I mean, if you're on Facebook and you're getting news that is, in my mind, filtered, or it's unique to you, so they're showing you stories that if you have political leanings one way or another that they know about because of the way that you've posted or you've liked certain pages.
I think it's worse than that. I think they've also algorithmed out news that doesn't fit a narrative that they're trying to do, and that's a global narrative or a countrywide narrative, like, you know, for politics, you know, get rid of Trump type stuff.
To give you an example, I read an article last week that the nonprofit, nonpartisan, air quotes, PolitiFact.org, which is one of the fact-checking organizations that Facebook uses from time to time to check something, to fact-check it for our benefit, of course. You know, they're going to tell us what's truth and what's not truth. Uh-huh. And so they'll use one of these organizations, which is one of the biggest ones, is PolitiFact.org. And last fall, PolitiFact came out with a rating on a particular rumor, let's say, and they graded that rumor as absolutely false. In fact, by the end of the year, they said this rumor was one of the biggest non-facts of the year. It was the biggest, they rated it, the biggest lie or the biggest misinformation. And that fact was that the coronavirus originated from a lab in Wuhan. And so that was promulgated by the Trump administration. Many people had said that, but PolitiFact said, no, that's been debunked. That is completely false. There is no fact to that. Well, last week, I don't know if you heard this, probably not, because very quietly they retracted that statement. Because in fact, there were scientists back then, and they dragged them through the mud, virologists that were saying, there is no way that this virus, having studied it, I've studied it, I'm a virologist, not me, but I'm speaking as if these individuals were on, and they gave interviews during about August, September of last year, and these interviews said something like, I've studied the virus, the DNA, the actual makeup of that particular strand, And there is no scientific way or no way that we know of in our world that the virus could have jumped from an animal to humans. It was created. And it was, we believe, created in a lab in Wuhan where they study these types of things, primarily in bats.
They've known it from day one. They lied to us.
I believe that, but we weren't allowed to believe that during the election cycle.
Nope.
So PolitiFact said, no, that is absolutely false. That's that has no credibility. That's a big, you're an idiot if you believe that. That's just a conspiracy.
You still can't
theory.
Put it on Facebook. You'll get deleted.
Well, apparently it was true. So they had to retract their statement. But we don't know really about that. They haven't really made that very public. I mean, they quietly did it.
It's out now, there. You can later. Find it.
You can find it, most definitely. But they didn't publish it in the New York Times. We're sorry. That was a misstatement by us. In fact, you know, more and more science is showing that it was created and it originated out of a lab in Wuhan. No, they haven't said that. They're not saying they're sorry. They're not saying we're political in one way or another. You haven't heard any of that. All they said was, oh, we actually, there is some credence to that. Scientifically, yeah, there's a bigger camp now that believes that than doesn't believe that. And those scientists that we were discrediting before, oh, yeah, they actually do have a lot of merit. And they were right in what they said.
Yeah.
Have you heard that in the news, in the mainstream news? No. Have you heard that in the paper? No.
And you still can't put it on social media.
Or else why? You're going to be censored, right?
Yes.
You're either going to be kicked off, your account's going to be locked, you go to Facebook jail. My father-in-law likes to say, and if he's listening, I'm sorry about this, but I think it's the funniest thing in the world. From time to time, as we're eating dinner on a Sunday, let's say, he'll say, oh, I'm in Facebook jail again. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, oh, I posted something and they put me in jail. He's like, I've got like 2 weeks till I'm out.
Really? 2 weeks? It's like playing hockey.
It's funny because it happens from time to time with him. And it's like, I love it.
Our social media has taken a page out of the CCP handling of media.
Yeah, and when you say CCP, you're referring to the Chinese Communist Party, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And sure, the question becomes, is Facebook, is Twitter ran by political
hacks?
You know, are they making decisions on who they want us to vote for? Are they promoting that? I would submit to you, yes, they are. And if that's the case, that's political speech, and we don't have the ability to actually do anything about it. They've got what's wild to me is that they've got an ability to, if me as a person post something saying, you know, Trump or Biden, they're complete morons, and I can post lies all I want. I can make anything up I want. And Facebook has an exemption from being sued for that.
Correct. And that was gave it to them.
Yeah,
Section 230.
Yeah, Section 230 exemption. Basically what that says is that they're not going to be liable for acts or things that I say or Russ says.
Because they don't edit.
Because they're not supposed to edit.
Well, that was the whole reason that they got it. They don't edit, but now they edit like crazy.
But they don't need to. So the only reason that they're editing is because they have a political bias in some form or fashion.
But
because
they're not liable. A newspaper would get sued. They can't be sued. And that's because they have protections.
They have immunity through
Section 230. So it's basically a government protection. So this is like a government program. It needs to be ended.
We've got to go to a break. This is Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM KBLU.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
On this Memorial Day, our nation honors those who have given all to defend our American freedom. Bill Alexander, Flightline Mazda, would like to thank you for your service to our country and our people. Your sacrifice is appreciated and will never be forgotten. God bless you and thank you.
On this Memorial Day, our nation honors those who have defended our freedom. Sunset Vista Funeral Home and Cemetery would like to invite you to join them for a special service on Monday, May 31st at 11 a.m. as we honor those who have sacrificed all to protect the freedom of Americans. Their sacrifice will never be forgotten.
For those who courageously gave their lives and those who bravely fight for America's freedom today, Taggers Tattoos sincerely thanks you. Bring in your military ID and get 20% off an hour or more. 928-329-1866. Taggers Tattoos.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to 560 AM KBLU. I'm attorney Adam Hanson, Deason, Garner, and Hanson, and we've got Russ in the booth today.
Morning.
Pushing buttons and turning dials and stuff like that. We have been talking heavily about the censorship that happens on social media programs and from time to time, and how we're opposed to that. I mean, I don't think these big organizations should be able to do what they're doing. And we've got a call right now. We'll go ahead and put it on.
Okay, you're on the air.
Do that, Russ?
Yeah, you're on the
good
air.
Good morning.
Hey, Russ. Good morning. It's Jesse. Love your subject you're talking about this morning.
It's actually and, Adams, but it's great.
Oh, thanks for Adam. The credit. Thank you. Thanks, Jesse.
Hey, I do a lot of advertising, and I do some on the radio and on print. But when I work with major manufacturers, they do the social media, and I tell them, hey, let's put the money on print. Let's put the money on TV or radio, more traditional forms of advertising. And they go, no, this is the wave of the future, Jesse. You got to get on it. And I tell them, no. So if I'm working with remanufacturing or any of the major air conditioning industries, they have money that you co-op.
Right.
And they look at me weird, and I go, do you understand they're not – the social media is not a traditional American company. And they can't understand that even though they're capitalists, even though they're American, they don't understand what you're trying to tell them about free enterprise, that these organizations, they operate outside of the United States. They don't believe in the First Amendment. They don't believe in the Second Amendment. They don't believe in freedom of religion. They don't believe in freedom of speech, which is fine. This is fine. But we don't have to give them any money. We don't have to use them. We could use more traditional forms of advertising.
Right.
And I think a lot of people are doing that. Would you agree?
I know there's still a big push to go to social media on some advertising, but God, I wouldn't be surprised if it calmed down.
Yeah. Do you remember MTV? When we were growing up, we had MTV. What did they fly every hour on the hour?
I don't know.
That's a company, an American company. They flew the American flag. Remember that? Oh.
That's right.
Remember, every hour on the hour, they flew the American flag on the moon, allegedly. Well,
oh, that's right.
Why can't Facebook do that? Why can't Twitter do that? They're embarrassed to be Americans. They want to be globalists. Remember, in the just in our lifetime when we were kids, everybody was proud to be an American.
Yeah, but now it's not a neutral issue. It's unfortunate. All right.
Exactly. So what we have to do is we have to look for different. You know, like birds of a feather flock together. They don't want to flock with us.
I'm with you, Jesse. I'm going with you. Yeah. I got to run, my friend. Thank you.
Okay, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
And Jesse has a good point. I mean, as a business, you have the opportunity to choose where you put your advertising dollars. What's going to get the biggest bang for your buck really is what, from a capitalist point of view or from a business owner's point of view, you're looking to save costs and bring in qualified candidates to your particular business so that can convert to paying more money into your coffers so you can pay your employees, pay your taxes, pay your licenses, grow. And so obviously you're making decisions as a business owner, thinking of all these different facets. And one of those is in advertising, you know, is this going to render, if I put so many dollars into this particular stream of advertising, is it going to yield something back to me in such a return that it made it worth the dollar that I put in? And we do that all the time as well. We're always looking for different facets. You know, there was a time when we really, really put a lot of money into newspaper. In this demographic in Yuma, it works pretty well. It still works pretty well. But it's expensive. It's really expensive. And so as time goes on, we start to look for other facets. And Facebook might be one of those. Instagram might be one of those. Because traditionally, they tend to be pretty affordable for the small guy, for the smaller businesses.
Yep. I agree.
And so I can do a campaign and hit tens of thousands of people that are qualified if I run the metrics right, because again, Facebook is tracking you. And so if I say, well, I want this gender demographic in the ages of, you know, 35 to 45, I want them to be not only in Yuma, but I want to do the surrounding areas over into El Centro and maybe over into Hyder, go that far, maybe even up the river to, I don't know, Havasu. And if I want to, I can tell Facebook that, and now it starts getting all these individuals grouped in for me, and these are my target audience. And so I can hit them with, you know, $100 campaign, and I'm hitting, I'm not sending it out to the world, because I don't need the world to know my message. I don't need to pay for that, which would be expensive, because I don't need everybody to know. I need the people here locally to know that are more likely to come into my business. And so once I put $100 towards that campaign, I've qualified that class of individuals that I'm searching for and that I want to actually target, because they're in the demographic that I want. I push the button. This is all done within 5-10 minutes. And next thing you know, they're getting ads on Facebook as they're going through their feeds on a daily basis for the next week, of my law firm or a business that's done that. And so it's quick. It's relatively cheap in the marketing sense, and it qualifies my clients. And so they know what they're doing. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But Jesse is exactly right. I as a person that chooses what media advertising streams I can use, I have the ability to say, you know, politically, but on a personal, what do you call that? Morals?
Yeah, you can call that. You can do that.
I don't know. I'm an attorney.
People still know what that means.
I don't have any.
Yeah,
so
you
I'm
do.
Looking to you,
Come
Russ.
On, stop.
I'm looking to you, Russ. I'm an attorney. I have no morals.
That's
so
not
I've
true.
Got a. What are these things again? But if
integrity,
it's on,
morals, yeah, honesty, transparency. We'll do all of them. You got them all.
If it's on a moral, my moral compass, this tells me, well, I'm not a fan of Zuckerberg and the way he runs his company and the things he did in the last election.
Yeah.
When it comes to censoring and things like that, I don't have to use Facebook. I can choose to use some other alternative. But at the same time, I might be detrimentally hurting my business. I could have.
You're losing opportunity.
Got a client that but for my advertising on Facebook, would never have saw what we do or how we do it and come in and put together an estate plan. So you're always making these judgment calls on a daily basis, and you know this, Russ, as a business owner as well, mm-hmm. You're in the same boat. And so it's a constant thing. You're looking for these ways to qualify your clients, to reach them, to let them know, listen, I've got what you need, and you need to come see me. So that's a constant battle. But Jesse's exactly right. We have the ability to say, I don't want to use that company because of this, that, or the other. Or would that be considered cancel culture? You know, am I canceling them? I'm willing to use services that are good, that in a capitalist system allow me to reach those clients that need to be reached and for the best bang for my buck. I don't need to participate in forums and stuff like that on Facebook, because knowing that it's being tracked and things like that, but I can use their tools that they have available for me and still speak out against the censorship that happens. Ultimately, yeah, they're getting money from my pocket, but I'm okay with that in the sense that it's a like kind exchange. And this, I'm getting a service for what I'm paying, and what they do with their money is up to them. You know, so you can look at it from both perspectives.
But we made them rich because of government intervention, and we should lobby to have those protections taken away. And if they're going to play editor, they need to play on the same field that the papers do, and they're liable if they do something improper and they get sued. And that's a normal thing, and Facebook has an exemption, and the government made them rich.
And this is the argument that you hear from the other side, that but for Section 230. Well, the argument is, listen, there might have been a time for Section 230 where a business like Twitter or Facebook that weren't in the business of censoring, not, I shouldn't even say censoring, but editing, reading, actually, right, promulgating, or getting behind a statement that was posted by one of its users. That's what Section 230 shields them from. Because in the world of libel and slander, I could be, so I go out and I say, Russ's car business is the worst in the world,
right,
you know, and I could lie about that.
Right.
I could lie about that and say, I took in my car and they just did a botched job and now it doesn't work, it doesn't go, it's right, a complete lemon. And it was awesome before Russ touched it. If I were to say that and it didn't happen, if I never took my car into you, now you have a legal opportunity to sue me for either libel or slander, depending on how mm-hmm, how I promulgated that message. I might have told a friend, or I might have told somebody, or written it down, or I told a news organization, and then they published that story. And
right,
so now, not only am I liable, but anybody that we call it published in that particular legal realm, published the statement that I said, they're all in it too, because they didn't fact check, they didn't actually get right, to the bottom of it, and they kept pushing the false message that I promulgated.
And that's what 230 was, to protect them from. But what they didn't, and I don't think they knew this at the time, that Facebook would become an editor to start pushing a narrative. 230 also protects them from that, and it shouldn't.
That's the argument now, is that in its beginnings, in its genesis, Facebook wasn't in the business of reading posts or even caring. You know, they yeah, were just... All they were a platform, yep, an open platform
bulletin
where we could...
board type stuff.
That's right. But what's happened now is obviously they're censoring. And so they are reading and they are controlling the narrative. So why would 230... Why would there be an exemption to that when they're promulgating the... When they're rubber stamping what is posted and what's not? Now they've become like a newspaper or a KYMA...
Or a political organization.
Right. And so Section 230 should not apply to Facebook or Instagram anymore, because they are actually in the business of censoring and controlling what is posted and what's not posted. For Section 230 to actually apply, you would have to be neutral in all of this. You'd have to just be an open forum and say, listen, we're Facebook. We give you the forum, but we're not going to tell you that your post or put you in Facebook jail because your post said something about Israel, you know?
But the current configuration of the Congress isn't going to touch it, because they are pushing the Democrat narrative, and they're okay with it.
And I've always been curious about that. Why? Why is that? And we'll talk about that as we come back. This is Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM, KBLU.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Be sure to listen for the border and traffic reports weekdays on this station, brought to you by RV World. They have a large selection of both new and used RVs. Exit Interstate 8 at Araby Road, then west on Gila Ridge, about a quarter mile. That's RV World.
Hope lives here in California. But during these challenging times, we could all use a little extra support. Visit calhope.org for free COVID-19 emotional support resources or call our warm line at 1-833-317-4673.
Be sure to listen Sunday afternoon from noon to 2 for the radio show that talks about all things real estate with award-winning broadcaster Stephen Gasquet. It's everything you need to know about your home from buying and selling. Brought to you by PhD. When your home needs a professional home doctor, call PhD 344-9111.
Tune in each morning for the Fox News Rundown, brought to you by Yuma International Airport, home to 4 car rental agencies that are open early and close late, giving you more bang for your buck. Yuma International Airport, we've got your travel covered.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson, and I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark. Prior to the break, we've only got a few more minutes here in our last segment on the show, but during the break, Russ has posed his theory that, you know, people like Mark Zuckerberg or Jack Dorsey of Twitter, these big CEOs, that they are pushing a more liberal or a democratic agenda. And I think through the last election cycle, we saw that happen, and I would tend to agree with him. And when it was happening, I was conflicted in my mind. I'm thinking, why? Why would a Mark Zuckerberg, because I feel betrayed by those guys. Why? Because a lot of their stories are such that they built these companies from the ground up. And that's what the United States is about. It's about the freedom to do that and to grow and to create your dream and just knock it out of the park. And they've done that. They've created something that was revolutionary, that hadn't been done before, and they've been able to grow and grow and grow, which I applaud. I think that is the American dream, to build something in such a way that others enjoy it along the way, that it does good in our society, and I love that. That is the American dream. So I think to myself, well, why? I feel betrayed because they just live the American dream. They put in the hard work, the blood, the sweat, the tears. They built, you know. I'm sure their family lives are horrible because of the way that they invested themselves in what they really believed in, building these companies over all these years, you know. Obviously, your personal life is going to suffer. It's either you're in it all the way and that's all you care about, that's your driving force, this building of this company or building an app or something like that, a software. And then your personal relationships get pushed to the side over here, or you can balance that. Most of the time they don't, and so they sacrificed a lot to get to where they were. I'm not going to denigrate that because I believe that's true. And so when they get to the point where they're bigger than everybody else and they're this monster worldwide, I feel betrayed when they come out and they push regulations governmentally on us, or at least they're advocating for that. And they're putting tons of money into candidates that would propose those things that would be, in my mind, unconstitutional. You know, I don't want the government telling me what I can do in most cases, but I do want the government there to protect me and my family in the event that I'm at work and there's a bad guy running around and my family's at risk. I want the police, the sheriff to apprehend that bad guy and protect my family while I'm at work so I can provide for them. And that's really what I think the government system is designed to do. Our government, our Constitution is designed to do that. The government should be an agent of us. We don't have time to stop what we're doing, go police all these robberies in our community. So we have a police system that hopefully is working and that we entrust our faith in, that will go out and do that for me so that I can go to work and provide for my family. So as an agent of mine, I want the policeman to go out and do that. But I don't want the policeman to put my neighbor in jail for posting something on Twitter that I didn't agree with. You know, maybe I have a complete different view of something and they post something on Twitter or on Facebook, and so I call the police on them. Can you believe what they put on Facebook or Twitter? You know, it was anti-gay or it was anti-black. Go arrest them and put them in jail. That's a little bit extreme for me. So if you extend that thought process to a Jack Dorsey of Twitter or to a Mark Zuckerberg, who are advocating for laws that are essentially doing that. when it comes to, let's say, guns. That's exactly what they're trying to promulgate, is that my neighbor can tattletale on me and say, call the local sheriff's office or the local police department. We call these red flag laws. They're not in Arizona yet, but they are being proposed in other liberal-type leaning states. And what they're saying is, okay, we can't that dang Supreme Court will not rule in our favor enough to allow us to come in and search your house and take guns, so we got to get them somehow. We got to put a law on the books where if you know that your neighbor has an AR-15 and you contact the sheriff's office, then they're going to come and get your AR-15. So these are what we call red flag laws, and they're really pushing for that. Why would a Mark Zuckerberg or a Jack Dorsey endorse that or put money into that type of a system? That was my question as this was all playing out in the political landscape this last election cycle. And so Russ has his own theories about this, and I agree with him to a certain extent. But I'm thinking to myself, listen, Mark, you put all this time in. You use the capitalist system. You got to where you are. Why are you now going against it? Because I would have thought that he would have been more for freedom, like he enjoyed, to get to where he was. He didn't have all these regulations placed on him. And then it dawned on me, well, what he's doing is the ultimate capitalist act. He's protecting his company that he built by not allowing any competition to come in. Because now that he's reached the top, he's able to say, with all my money, I'm going to influence these political actors in such a way that they pass legislation that makes it incredibly difficult for another company to compete against me and get to where I am.
You long way to get there, but you got it right.
Yeah.
They just pulled up the ladder. I mean, they're at the top. They pulled up the ladder.
Yeah.
Because this will stymie the growth, but they're already there. So they're supporting the guys that give them favors.
And so I say to myself, well, maybe he's got it right in the sense that if we're in a capitalist system, that is the most capitalist act that you can do. I mean, that is brutal. That is saying
that's
Marxist. Pushing people into the ocean and not throw them a life vest.
That's not capitalist. That's Marxism.
Why?
And, well, Marxism or communism, just like you see in China and everybody, there's lots of billionaires in China, but they're all CCP and they're all friends of the regime, and they get additional favoritism where no one else does. So that's not capitalism.
I would argue capitalist societies are such that you want to stifle your competition. And
No, you don't
agree with that?
I don't. I think what capitalists do is win the competition. They win the fight. They win the battle. It's
with
not
honor.
It's not that. It's just they offer the best service, the best products, the best everything in order to win. They don't say, okay, I'm going to put everyone else out of business so I can be open from, let's say, 10 to 2 and take a two-hour lunch. And that's not capitalism. That's Russia, oligarchs, Chinese oligarchs. All those kind of guys are very wealthy, but they control the entire marketplace, not just their companies.
And I tend to agree with that statement. I think you're onto something. So this is the world we live in now. So when you get to that point and you've got these exemptions through the federal government, these protections, these immunities through Section 230, like we've talked about before, now it becomes difficult. But now the argument is we've crossed that bridge where now I understand the motivation. I understand Zuckerberg's motivation. I understand Dorsey's motivation and Twitter being the only big dog on the block. But if that's the case, well, now they've shot themselves in the foot because now they're the only ones on the scene. There is no other Facebook. There is no other Twitter. And they control the narrative. They've come to the point where they are so protected that there can't be any competition. Well, but now they've shot themselves in the foot because now we're in the antitrust realm. Now they're so big, they control everything. That's what we call, ladies and gentlemen, a monopoly.
You're right.
So now they need to be broken up.
But if they can keep Democrats in power forever, so there's no competition, then they're set for life because they will never come after them. They'll never use any antitrust because they'll control the DOJ, the House, the Senate, and the executive branch. And their goal right now is at all costs to make Democrats forever on everything. And then it doesn't matter what you vote because they're doing the counting.
Yeah, and I could see that. We see this in California.
Yeah.
Where they've,
you got 1 minute.
They control everything. Yeah. Again, going back to the Constitution, guys, it's not that scary. Get into it. I would encourage you to look it up, Google it. read the articles, read the amendments, know what you're talking about, and don't worry about trying to know everything. But what we're trying to help the listeners of our show understand is that the Constitution in its basic form is very simple. It is, and you can do it. You can understand it enough that when you go to the polling places next time, you're educated enough to know or to see red flags and say, you know what, I don't want that. I don't want the government intervening here or there or wherever. The government's an extension of us, and we need to control the government, not the government control us. And I think we live in such a time that we've let this monster get out of control. And I can't walk down the street without the government telling me what to do or how to do it. And that was not what our founding fathers intended. No. We are to control our government. Let's take it back. Let's get it going. And I encourage you to do that. This is Life, Death, and Law, 560 AM, KBLU.
Please call the law firm of Decent, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.